Now, a few weeks ago, we looked at Esther, didn't we? And Esther was a small book in the Old Testament, 10 chapters. And I challenged everybody to read those 10 chapters and to let me know if God had used you for just such a time as this, like God used Esther. And last Sunday evening, Anne gave a short testimony about how God had used her just for such a time as this. And that was really encouraging. And so today there's going to be some challenges as well as finding out names. I'm going to challenge you to read the whole book of Ruth. Now, this is one you can do before lunch because it's in the Old Testament. It's just after Judges and it's shorter than Esther. It is only 4 chapters. So see if you can read it today before the day's out. Give it a go. So what I'm going to do is just tell you briefly the story up until we have the reading. And then I'll briefly tell you the story after the reading. And then we'll just have a little think about Ruth and Boaz. So, thank you. The story starts when Naomi and her husband and her 2 sons, they leave Bethlehem and they move to Moab. And that's because there's a severe famine in the land. So while they're in Moab, Naomi's husband dies. Her 2 sons marry, Orpah and Ruth. But after they'd lived there for about 10 years, both of her sons die as well. So 3 women, all widows, left with nobody to support them. And women were dependent on men to look after them. And Naomi hears that the famine in Bethlehem is over, so she plans to return to Bethlehem. Originally, her 2 daughter-in-laws are going to go with her, but while just sort of started the journey, she tells both of them to just return to their families and try and build a new life and a new husband in a culture that they're used to. Reluctantly, Orpah decides and agrees, so she returns to her family. But Ruth, however, is adamant that she will stay with Naomi. And she tells Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." So they journey back to Bethlehem. Naomi is rather bitter, really, at the circumstances that she finds herself in. And she even suggests that she should be called Mara, which means bitter. So there they are, arriving in Bethlehem. They're widows, they're poor, they have no home, they have no means of support. And Ruth, add on to that, is a foreigner, and she's looked on with suspicion. Things look pretty desperate, really, in Bethlehem, just as they were in Moab. And that's where we're going to pick up the story. Roger's going to come and read from Ruth chapter 2, and he's going to read the first 12 verses of Ruth chapter 2.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the 2nd chapter of the book of Ruth, reading from verse 1 to 12, which can be found on page 268 of your pew Bibles. Ruth meets Boaz. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is a Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with me, my servant, and my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She explained, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about you, what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland, and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Roger. So from the reading, we see that Ruth immediately sets to work, and she works hard to try and support herself and Naomi. Fortunately, she finds herself in a field that belongs to Boaz, and Boaz is a distant relation. Now, I've got a feeling that some of these things are God incidences. And Boaz continues to look after Ruth. He tells Ruth to go and share the bread that the other workers are having for their meal break. He gives his orders to his workers to look after her, and that's ensuring that she collects enough, and even to pull out some stalks out of their bundles for her. Thank you. If we can have the next picture, yeah. To pull out some stalks so that she can collect even more. And Ruth stays working in those fields of Boaz until the end of that harvest. And by this time, thank you, if we can have the next picture, by this time, Naomi is planning. You see, Boaz is a distant relative, and Naomi's wondering if he would be willing to support her and Ruth. Perhaps their future is going to be looking a bit brighter. When Naomi left Moab, she wouldn't have known if there were any distant relatives left in Bethlehem because of the famine. But now she knows that Boaz is, and so she suggests to Ruth that she goes and presents herself to Boaz and to see if he'll take on the responsibility of being her kinsman redeemer. As a nearest relative, he had that option of marrying Ruth, a widow. He didn't have to, in which case the privilege would be offered to the next nearest relative or the next. If nobody was willing to marry a widow, then actually her life would have been subject to abject poverty, really. Inheritance was all to do with the male line of a family, and women could have found themselves in very difficult positions. But for Ruth, again, I'm sure God's got his hand on it, things did work out. She goes and lies at the feet of Boaz, and that's a position that a servant would have taken with their master. And in that way, Ruth is informing Boaz that he could choose to be her kinsman redeemer or pass the responsibility on. Boaz knows, though, that there is a relative that is closer, and he must have first choice. This relative would have been happy to have a field that still seems to belong to Naomi's husband, but he doesn't actually want to take on Naomi and Ruth, and so he declines the offer. And that leaves the way clear for Boaz to marry Ruth. And the marriage is blessed. Thank you, if we can have the next picture. The marriage is blessed with the birth of Obed. And later, Obed becomes the father of Jesse, well done, who becomes the father of David, brilliant, who was used so powerfully by God. Yeah, he wrote many of the Psalms the Lord's my shepherd, and he defeated Goliath. And then further down the line, we see Obed as part of the family tree leading to Joseph. If we can go on to the next picture, the husband of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, the saviour of the world. God had a plan, didn't he? And it was all being worked out. I really love the story of Ruth. Do try and read Ruth before or after lunch. It's great to see everybody sort of being so nice to each other, isn't it? But it's also important to, it shows the events of God's preparations for the birth of David and more importantly for the birth of Jesus. Ruth was part of God's plans, even though she didn't know, even though she didn't realize it, even though she wasn't Jewish, even though she was a foreigner, a widow, and generally looked down on in society. God had plans to use her, and he did. So what I want to do, just to engage your brains for a little while, is think about the two main characters, so Boaz and Ruth. And what we're going to do is just think about their characteristics. So something that you could say that would describe Ruth, whether she was nice or whatever she was, a characteristic of Ruth and a characteristic of Boaz. So we're not going to try and make a Bible verse, but I do have names. So I think we'll have the South Island, this bit of the Middle Island. We're going to think about Ruth and Vera, do you want to hold that for me? You can stay sitting there, that's fine. You stay sitting. So this side, you're going to think about Ruth, okay? And this side, you're going to think about Boaz. Are you up to holding that for me? You'll have to hold it round so people will be able to see it. So what I want you to do is very quickly, just with a few people next to you, sorry, you don't need to hold it all the time, we'll have it up in a minute. With the people next to you, think about Boaz on this side. Just think of a few ways you might describe his character, some of the things he did, some of the things that you heard from the story and from my summing up. And you just think a little bit about Ruth and come up with a few words that we can have about her character. And then hopefully some of the words you come up with will be some of the words that I've come up with. So just talk to your neighbour just for a minute. Come up with a few words. Okay, off you go. Okay, so hopefully you've come up with a few descriptions about Ruth and about Boaz. I don't know, the curate's the last one to move back. So what we're going to do, we're going to try and build up some descriptions about the characters. We're going to start with Ruth. So come up with a few words that you might have used to describe Ruth. So this is from here. Anybody going to come up with anything?
Caring.
Sorry, caring. Yeah, that's a good one.
Loyal,
that's a good one.
Hardworking,
that's a good one.
Brave.
Compassionate. Strong. Yeah, you're doing really good, actually. I could probably go home now. Excellent, well done. We're going to have... The first one that I've got is love. So we've mentioned love. So yeah, Ruth showed love, didn't she? She showed love to Naomi, and yeah, she did. So somebody else can hold that over this side. You're going to have to hold them all up in a minute. Well done. The next one I had, loyal. You came up with loyal as well. So brilliant. She stayed with Naomi, didn't she? She was given the choice that she could have gone back to her own culture, and it would certainly have been an easier life, but she didn't choose the easy option. She went back and stayed, and she was loyal. Right, can somebody else hold that one for me? Brilliant, well done. And then the next one that I've got, brave. Again, you came up with brave. She wasn't, so there's various ways that Ruth showed how brave she was. She wasn't afraid to sort of show how poor she was. She went gleaning in a field,
and that was for poor people. When they harvested, they had to leave the edge so that anybody who had no income, no means of supporting themselves, could go and pick up the corn or whatever from the edge of the field. And so she was brave that she showed herself to be poor. She was also brave, really, when she risked putting herself at the feet of Boaz. It was the custom that servants, you know, bowed down and were at the feet of those who looked after them. And she was showing herself that she was willing to be his servant. Brilliant. Somebody else like to hold that one for me? Great. Faithful. Did you come up with faithful? That was another word that I came up with. Loyal, yeah. Faithful, just that she stayed with Naomi, didn't she? She sort of stayed alongside her during the tough times and during the good times. And she felt it was important to support Naomi, and so she worked hard, really, didn't she? Do you have somebody else hold one of these? Well done, thank you very much. And then the word I came up with was kind. Yeah, so she was kind, wasn't she? You can just imagine her care for Naomi. As you saw that picture, obviously we don't know what she looked like, but she was just with Naomi sitting at a table having a conversation. You can imagine her love for her and how kind she was to her. And she was willing to do whatever it took to protect Naomi. Brilliant. Somebody else going to hold one of these? Thank you very much. You'll all have to hold them up in a minute. And then trusting is another word I came up with for her. Because she did trust Naomi, her mother-in-law. How many of us were going to say, yeah, we trust our mother-in-laws? Or how many daughter-in-laws say they trust you? But she did. She trusted her. And she took her word about the culture and about going to Boaz and about the things that she could do. So she was a very trusting type of person. So somebody else at the back want to hold that prayer? Well done. I'm having to do all the walking. Well, so yeah, brilliant. So we've got quite a lot of different characteristics about Ruth. Now, what about Boaz? So you've heard some of the words they've come up with. Some of them may well apply to Boaz. There may be different things. So have we got any words that might describe Boaz? Generous, yeah, that's a good one. Honourable, that's a good one. I don't think I could spell honourable, though, so I think I may have done something else. But any other? Sorry.
Godly.
Godly, yeah. Humble, yeah. Good ones. I haven't got all of those, I can assure you. But I did start off with kind, which we had for Ruth as well, didn't we? That he was kind. He showed kindness to Ruth. She was a widower. She was a foreigner. She was the lowest of the low. And yet not only did he tell his men to look after her, he also instructed them to pull out extra for her. And he did what was over and above what was required for him. So, yeah, kind. Who's going to hold that one for me? Thank you. Generous, we came up with. So he did over and above, like I said, and he was generous and he looked after Ruth. Are you going to hold that one for me, Felicity? Thank you. Oh, sorry. Did anybody mention sensitive? Because I think, yeah, because I think Boaz was sensitive. His workers had a break in the middle of the day. And, you know, he was looking after his workers, and that just seemed, again, over and above perhaps what was expected in that day and age. So somebody else towards the back here. Integrity was another word I came up with. So integrity. He had high moral standards, didn't he? He accepted his responsibility towards Naomi. So he did take on being kinsman redeemer. I'm sure I'm getting a lot of steps here. Let's have somebody hold this. You can hold it for me. Two jobs, well done. Honest. When Ruth presented herself to Boaz, he did say that there was a kinsman redeemer who was closer in family than he was. And that wouldn't have just been because of the field. So there was material gain. If he hadn't have been completely honest, he could have just had that field if he wanted it. So he was really honest as well. So I'm going to go to the back here a bit further. And then the last one that I got was, just carrying on with the kinsman redeemer bit, committed. Because he said, Boaz said, that he would check out about this closer relative. And he did check out. He was as good as his word. And he checked it out the very next day. And Naomi had recognised that he had a reputation for keeping his word. So let's have somebody around here. Oh, you're going to hold it for me? So we've got a few ways of describing Ruth and Boaz. Brilliant, a slide. Can you, if you've got a bit of paper, can you hold it up? Sort of hold it up and do 360 degrees so people can see it. Have a look round at all those different characteristics. And then if all else fails, have a look at them on the screen as well. Brilliant, thank you. They're good, aren't they? They're good characteristics to have. They're things that all of us would like to be described as. And you see, they weren't just for Ruth and Boaz. These characteristics we're still called to show today. We're called to love. We're called to be kind. We're called to be loyal. We're called to be brave. We're called to be faithful. All those others that we've mentioned. Ruth and Boaz lived in a society that was collapsing. The story comes just after Judges, and everybody saw fit to do as they wanted to do. There really was no sort of very grand belief and trust in God. The world was in a bit of a mess. And Ruth and Boaz were literally shining lights in that society, living God's way. And we're called to make that same sort of mark in society today. So what I want you to do now, just in a little bit of space, with those on the screen still, I wonder, as you think about those different characteristics, I wonder which one or two or three jump out at you that you think, yeah, I do that. Yeah, I am kind. Yeah, I do love. Yeah, I am honest. So there's going to be two or three or maybe all of them that you think, yeah, I do those. Just perhaps think which ones you know that you have as a gift and that you use. But the chances are that there's also one or two or even more of that list that we really are not very good at, that we really do find a bit of a struggle. Perhaps we do say things without thinking and are not very sensitive. Perhaps we do like to keep our money in our pockets and are not very generous. Perhaps on occasions we don't always tell the whole truth. So there's going to be some things that are really good, and there's going to be some things that we think we could do better. And what we're going to do, just as I finish, we're going to just lift those two different things to God. So go back to thinking about the ones that you think, yeah, I've got some of that. I can see God working through me and helping me to love more or to be faithful more or to trust more. So just for 10 seconds, just think about which one or two or three words you would use, you would agree with. are being used in your life. So just use one hand and just lift that hand to God with those characteristics mentioned in your heart. So just lift that hand to God as I just say a prayer. Thank you, God, for this gift that I know is shown in my life. Help me to show it more and to use it more and more for your glory. Amen. So that's the gifts that we feel God is using in our lives. And now just go back to thinking about the one or two or however many that we feel we're not quite so good at. And again, just think about them in your heart. And again, just lift those to God. Use the other hand this time. Just lift that to God. Father God, as I recognise that I'm not very good at some of these traits, please help me to develop these more and more. Please help me to put others first and to bring you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, watch this space over this coming week as you use some of these gifts, as you show some of these characteristics, the ones you're good at, and perhaps more noticeably the ones that you think you're not quite so good at. See the opportunities that God gives you this week to use some of these characteristics. Amen.